Welcome back to the program. It's a new day on 1180 WFYL with Mike Levins. Go ahead, call in at 610-539-TALK. 610-539-TALK or 1-877-667-1180. That's abroad at 1-877-667-1180. Reading an article from Slate, can Congress stop Obama's Iran deal? Well, yes and no. If they have a majority, yes and no. Call in to weigh in on this again at 610-539-TALK. That's 610-539-TALK or 1-877-667-1180. That's 1-877-667-1180. Thanks for joining us in the second hour of It's a New Day on 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty. Hope your Easter was well. I know mine was. It was a wonderful Easter. And man, has the weather been great. It's going to be a little soggy this week, but man, has it been wonderful. 70 degrees when I got out this morning to go to the station. My goodness, it was absolutely delightful. That nice warm breeze. It looks like spring is here and here to stay, and the winter is going away. That's going to be absolutely terrific as we all rejoice in our cars, not having to start them up in the freezing cold anymore. Oh, let's go ahead and back to the news, shall we? Can Congress stop Obama's Iran deal? This is an article from Slate that I'm reading. And it is possible. The answer is yes and no. It is possible for Congress to put some kind of stop. Now, we read in the Constitution that the president only has authority, really, for any kind of treaty with the consent and approval of Congress. Can it be challenged in a court? Yes, it can. It's funny, when I said that, I was thinking of the infamous "Yes, we can" chant that people religiously shouted at President Obama as he won his first and second election. Yes, we can. Yes, it can be challenged in court. Because, and there have been treaties that have gone to court that have had judicial rulings, and that's all because of the interpretation of the treaty clause in the Constitution, saying that the president can essentially make treaties and different diplomatic agreements with the consent of two-thirds of Congress. Now, from a judicial perspective, that has been ruled upon at times as not necessarily a piece of legislation, but if Congress largely acquiesces. Now, if any court would rule that our Congress right now is acquiescing to President Obama and this agreement, then we have truly have a broken political system, a broken governmental system. If they cannot say that Congress was fiercely divided and maybe even leaning more towards a majority, probably just a few votes short of a majority to actually have a veto-proof deal to put forward to the president, the most likely scenario is that this is just going to be passed on to the next president, whoever that will be. Some Republican candidates have made it clear where they stand on it. I'm reading down here in the article. Scott Walker has pledged to undo the deal on day one. That was reported by the Washington Post, which that could be a campaign promise that doesn't get fulfilled. But if Congress does pass something because of the Republican majority, I'm sorry, if they do something, that seems to be a term that is falling on deaf ears. Do something, Congress. Then they will be able to impose new sanctions, continue this deal, or whatever they choose to do. There is a piece of legislation that basically puts all of these sanctions on the table and keeps them in force. It is going to need to be approved. It's called the Iran Sanctions Act. On December 31st, 3 weeks before Obama leaves office, the act will expire unless Congress takes action to renew it. What it will probably do is amend it. But that's the scenario. That's everything that's at play here. Now, I for his all-important opinion, as he likes to make very known through his executive orders, let's go ahead and play some bits of what Obama actually has to say about this deal. There are two that are very important. One is his blatant disregard for the implicit negativity of the Iranian regime. Let's play that cut now.
This deal is the right thing to do for the United States, for our allies in the region, and for world peace, regardless of the nature of the Iranian regime.
How can you say that? Regardless of the Iranian regime, regardless if they say that Israel needs to be exterminated and all Jews around the world need to be lined up and shot, regardless, he says that these are going to be beneficial. And I, quite frankly, read another article before. I don't understand why so many people approve. It was 61% believe that some kind of deal needs to be reached with Iran for sanctions. And the problem is, and that was from GSK, I believe, or maybe GFK. I don't know. There's so many acronyms today. Basically, a market research firm. It was a sample of 710 adults through an online survey. Overall percentage, 61% wanted some kind of deal with Iran. Now, what that looks like, could be different. Could be different than what we have on the table now, most certainly. And it should be different. We have that. 35% believe that there shouldn't be any deal with Iran at all, and sanctions should increase. No one wants to do the tough thing. Nobody wants to do it. No one wants to do what is necessary, which is tell, because you want to talk about what's good for the world. Here's what's good for the world, Mr. President. Tell the world that regimes like Iran and all of their rhetoric of genocide will not be tolerated. That's what'll be good for the world, not we'll deal with you at the table. What kind of precedent is that? What kind of legacy is that? You're going to deal with people who want to murder with reckless abandon those who simply believe differently than them? The Jews? Who have death to America chanted by their supreme leader, or at least motivating his people to say it, and who spews evil, at least, and I hate saying this because so many people get on conservatives for saying this. You bring up President Reagan, what is he, Jesus to you? No, he's not Jesus, my goodness. He's a man, but you know what? He was a man who did the right thing. President Reagan called the Soviet Union what it was, the evil empire. And that was what was good for the world because no one else could stand up to them. We are without U.S. leadership. No one is going to feel comfortable standing up to Iran alone. The only one that will is the only one that has to, and that's Israel. They have to. It's dependent on their existence. They have to stand up to Iran. Iran is the bully in the schoolyard that no one wants to stand up to right now, and that everyone could kick his tail back into the Stone Age. And yet we're negotiating with them. 610-539-TALK. 610-539-TALK or 1-877-667-1180. That's 1-877-667-1180. And you know what? I think this is, in part, brought on by ourselves. brought on by ourselves. He got elected twice. He got elected twice. There's a lot of question as far as what that election, you know, I know that there's a lot of question as far as dead voters voting and people who aren't even registered voting and illegal aliens voting, and only the annals of history will be able to accurately tell us what really happened. But our nation is divided, and it's divided for a reason. And I really believe this. It's a spiritual issue. And not just in the, I'm not just to acquiesce and to simply say, and to ignore the real issues and to say, well, it's all just a spiritual issue. We all need to hold hands and say kumbaya. No. This is an issue of what people believe. Because what people believe determines what they do. And what they do impacts others. And one of the things that a lot of people did is elect different officials, one of them being the president. Can we turn back from that? Yeah, we can. Even if you did vote for him and you're regretting that now, there's always a different way to go. We'll be back. We'll talk about that on It's a New Day, 1180 WFYL, right after this. Thanks for listening. It's a new day at 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty. Call in at 610-539-TALK, 610-539-TALK, or 1-877-667-1180. That's 1-877-667-1180. It's a new day with Michael Evans. Thanks for joining us on the program. And we're talking about the Iranian nuclear deal. We've got so much to talk about here on the show. We've got our face bomb coming up. We've got our daily Ukrainian update, so stay right there. And we'll get to all of that. All of that. Let not your heart be troubled. I know that's, I've taken that from somewhere. Someone else uses that as their tagline for everything. But again, that number is 610-539-TALK. 610-539-TALK. Or 1180-WFYL. That's 1-877-667-1180. 1-877-667-1180. Now, we're talking about the deal with Congress. Or the Iranian deal, I'm sorry. And what exactly are the congressional powers? Congress can vote, and they can basically renew the Iran Sanctions Act, which is going to be up December 31st, 2016. They could vote to renew that. They could vote to amend that. They can do a lot of things here. They can go ahead and basically stand up to the president, which they have done in many different ways. They can go and wait for the next president to come along, since they don't necessarily have a supermajority right now. And that's the main hindrance. That's the main hindrance to them getting anything done, this political gridlock that is happening in Congress, which has been happening and stifling anything for right now. We have Faith on hold joining the program right now. Faith, you're on It's a New Day, 1180 WFYL. How you doing this morning?
Pretty well, thanks. Hey, I want to give you some fuel for your fire in order to set the record straight. Now, there's this RT's Tom Hartman. That's Tom spelled T-H-O-M, and the Hartman is double N at the end. RT is Russian TV, which is based in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he railed on Reagan last night as worse than Nixon. I don't really know how to get into the reasons, but to his credit, sometimes he has the politics panel, and there are usually two conservatives represented. I would say that the best that I've seen defend conservatism on there would be there are three gentlemen that are Black Americans from Project 21. I'm not sure really what that is, but it sounds like it must be, you know, we are on the same page.
Yeah. Now this was RT, and now remind me, who said this comment now about President Reagan?
Okay, the host is Tom Hartman. Usually he's the host. I mean, it's his show, and he's the one that did a segment on, you know, always got a big Reagan pictures on the screen, and he just he was just really you know, bringing these things to light that he thought were damaging to President Reagan. So, I mean, I would encourage you to try to see if you can, you know, get that program. It was from last night. It's aired at 7 p.m. as well as 10 p.m.
And that comparing, and I would love to know. And this isn't against you, Faith, at all. So please don't take it that way. But comparing Reagan on the basis of what?
Okay, I'm sorry.
You know?
I really can't articulate that. I just it was just really outstanding to me that he would do that. Well, I'm not surprised because he is, an avid liberal. And even if he wouldn't agree with the president, he will. Oh, I don't know. It's just, and he's big on environmentalism. That's one of his, hobby horses. But
right, right. No, I mean, that was more of a rhetorical, like a rhetorical question. But like comparing, okay, tell me how Reagan is compared to Nixon.
Right.
In so many words,
right.
RT is the most biased news organization on the face of the planet, and I think it's fair to say that the old Russian regime of the Soviet Union doesn't really like President Reagan, or former President Reagan.
Sure.
He's no longer with us. But, Faye, thanks for your call this morning.
I'm glad you're aware of that, you know, about RT. So I'm almost ready to stop watching, but I just want to see what the other side is saying.
It's a train wreck. You have to keep on watching.
Thank you.
No problem. You have a good day.
Bye.
But President Reagan's like Nixon. How? He's like President Nixon, and I would love to see that wonderful piece of journalism from the unbiased, and that is only a testament to how naive the Russians are, not as a whole, okay, because their media is state-controlled. Their media is state-controlled, and it's not a fault of the Russian people, it's the fault of the people, of the person ruling over them. Really, the only person ruling over them is Putin. There is no federation. There's only Putin's agenda and only his government. And he rules with an iron fist. And we've talked about that here on your daily Ukrainian update. Again, that was a wonderful call by Faith. But so how can we then compare? I still can't get over that. Compares Reagan to Nixon. Tell me how. Line up the points for me. Demonstrate to me why. Why, and again, that has nothing to do with, I'm glad you brought that up. RT, you can never put anything past RT. They may have a headline tomorrow that says that Republicans think that the Jewish state needs to be destroyed, and really, they're the ones advocating for a deal that will preserve the Jewish state by prohibiting Iran from getting a nuclear weapon. And the sky will be blue, and they'll tell you that the sky is red. Well, it's a blue sky. No, it's red. It's red, and it's got a little hammer and sickle in the side, actually. You can see it. It's really bright, and it's a hammer and sickle. It's not, no, the sky's blue. That's just a cloud. What are you talking about? No, it's a hammer and sickle, and that's how they rule. It's just so argumentative in today's culture and everything that we talk about. We don't necessarily need to be. But so, President Obama talking about his willingness to negotiate and why he thinks that the Iranian nuclear deal, this deal that he has worked up right now, is good for the world. In fact, let's go ahead and play that clip now.
There is long precedent for a whole host of international agreements in which there's not a formal treaty ratified by Congress, by the Senate. In fact, the majority of agreements that we enter into around the world are of that nature. This deal is the right thing to do for the United States, for our allies in the region, and for world peace, regardless of the nature of the Iranian regime.
Regardless of the nature of the Iranian regime. That should be our facepalm today. It really should. A daily facepalm. What did he say? What in the... Hey, we're going to be back right after this break here on 1180 WFYL. It's a new day. Call in 610-539-TALK, 610-539-TALK, or abroad at 1-877-667-1180. That's 1-877-667-1180. We'll be back after this. Welcome back. It's a new day in 1180 WFYL with Mike Levins here. 610-539-TALK. 610-539-TALK. To go ahead, call in and let your voice be heard this morning. Or you could call abroad at 1-877-667-1180. That's 1-877-667-1180. And it's a new day, 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty. Now, we've talked this quite a bit as far as the nuclear deal with Iran and what Obama thinks, and I'm getting kind of worn out on the subject personally. We know what's probably going to happen. We know what it's going to look like. I need something to break it up this morning. Let's go ahead, and it's time for your daily facepalm. Oh yeah, here we go. What is your daily facepalm today? This comes from the infamous metro.co.uk. Is this the creepiest answer ever given on a quiz show? Tom, a Freemason, was appearing on U.S. quiz show Jeopardy when host Alex Trebek asked, "In common law, the age of this signaling adulthood is presumed to be 14 in boys and 12 in girls." Tom immediately answered, "What is the age of consent?" Whoa. What is the age of consent? Tom left viewers stunned when he immediately answered. The correct answer was, in fact, "What is puberty?" Oh no. That's not what you want. Finding you with... Never mind. I was going to say something, but I'm just gonna keep that one to myself. The correct answer was, in fact, "What is puberty?" As the age of consent in the U.S. varies between ages 16 and 18. Tom, you are the winner of today's daily facepalm, making us all wish that we lived in a better world. Thank you. Thank you today. Oh my God. Gosh, what is the age of consent? Let me read that again. In common law, the age of this signaling adulthood is presumed to be 14 in boys and 12 in girls. But Tom left viewers stunned when he immediately answered, "What is the age of consent?" That is not what you want as your legacy. I could see Alex Trebek right now looking at him over his glasses like he so does. And just glancing over at him with his mouth slightly open, sitting there going, "Cause you hear that little beep, right? You hear the doot doot." The answer is, what is puberty? As silence falls over the room. Tom the Freemason. They note he's a Freemason. I never even thought that could be even associated with Freemasons, because that's what the article is trying to get at here. Apparently, it's acknowledgeable, the fact that he's a Freemason. That's a taboo. I don't know that necessarily all Freemasons they answer that way, but that was definitely a mental snafu. You don't want that to happen. Poor guy. Of course, we don't know. We'll never really know. But that's today's facepalm. Okay. Well, let's go into what is happening in Ukraine. Ukrainian leader is open to a vote on regional power. Now, this comes from the New York Times. This is basically from President Petro Poroshenko. This was Monday. He denounced calls for federalization of the country, which Russia has endorsed as a way of granting political autonomy to the areas of eastern Ukraine controlled by pro-Russian separatists. Now, we talked on this program, we've talked about that in the past with Roman Andreychik, again, former U.S. Army colonel, native-born Ukrainian. You guys have heard that before, about how, and he was telling me, that really outside of Moscow and St. Petersburg, Russia is impoverished and not very well educated. Those are really the only centers. Russia as a country doesn't have a whole lot holding it together, because the people are controlled as far as what they hear, what news they get fed by the Russian media. Faith called in talking about RT, and they were comparing President Reagan to Nixon. I would love to see what they're actually comparing. I would love to see what they were actually trying to accomplish with their editorial spin. But the state media is controlled. That's exactly what it is. It's state media controlled by Putin, I believe. And it controls what the people think. They're ostracized from the outside world. Online access is restricted. Now contrast that with Ukraine. Ukrainian people are very well educated. They're a very well educated populace. They, for the most part, before this crisis, they were able in a lot of ways to change their nation for good, because this all boils down to them trying to solidify their break from Russia. Russia wants Eastern Europe back. Putin wants Eastern Europe back. They want the Soviet Union restored to its quote-unquote former glory. They want that power, and they will stop at nothing. Now, this is amazing what President Poroshenko says here. That, and again, They always wrap things like this in nice little packages that sound really good to the ear, such as federalization. And what Russia's trying to do is they're trying to slowly absorb Ukraine. Everyone knows it. And they want the eastern regions to be annexed, which is this term federalization that's being used, which sounds so bad if you speak against it. Poroshenko said, quote, "Why do I dwell in great detail on the idea of federalization?" Poroshenko being president of Ukraine. "Because it is like an infection, a biological weapon, which is being imposed on Ukraine from abroad. Its bacteria are trying to infect Ukraine and destroy our unity." They have not forgotten the tyranny of the Soviet Union. If you think in respect to world history, the Soviet Union was not that long ago that it ruled in that part of Europe, that it ruled over their lives and dictated everything they do, as they do within their own borders, and Ukraine is doing everything it possibly can to resist. Everything it possibly can. President Poroshenko, in this article, this is really the crux of the article here, open to a vote for regional power, made a speech on the historical importance of Pulip Orlik, a Cossack nobleman and Ukrainian hetman or leader in exile in 1710, wrote the Bendery Constitution. Many scholars, and this is from the article of the New York Times, many scholars believe it was the first to codify the separation of powers among the executive, the legislature, and the judiciary as a democratic standard. Mr. Poroshenko urged the head of the Constitutional Commission, Volodymyr Groysman, who is the Speaker of Ukraine's parliament, to seek input from the opposition bloc, the one minority faction in the legislature. It includes former allies of President Viktor Yanukovych, who was ousted last year after huge street protests, Yanukovych being the Russian puppet. And that's a side note from me. Quote, I would like very much and believe it is possible for the commission to become a unifying platform of all political forces, society, domestic and international experts in working out such important constitutional initiatives required by our society. Trying to form their government here, and Russia ever imposing their will. In eastern Ukraine, however, it was clear that Mr. Poroshenko was falling short of that goal. Separatist leaders noted that they had not been invited to join the Commission on Constitutional Changes. It's kind of hard to do that when you're in open conflict and open war. And they took issue with Mr. Poroshenko's remarks, including his insistence that Ukraine would remain a unitary state and his declaration that Ukraine would remain the country's only official language, Ukrainian. These things are absolutely unacceptable. That was Andrei Pergin, head of the Donetsk People's Republic. Everything they now say and do contradicts the Minsk agreements that took so much work to achieve, which was used by Russian-backed separatists to mobilize troops around Mariupol, and the bombardments killing civilians, which we've reported on in this station. As the commission and the constitutional amendment process, Mr. Pergin told Interfax, we did not receive any invitations. We don't have any representatives there because people are dying at your hand, not people that you blame for the government as it is now in Ukraine, whatever your opinion is on it, people who are innocent, who have died at the hands of Russian-backed separatists, guns and shells. That is why you are not invited to the diplomatic table. And that's why we shouldn't invite Iran to the diplomatic table either, as they kill innocents across the world by sponsoring terrorism as a state. We're going to get back to this and more on It's a New Day, 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty when we get back from the break. Welcome back to 1180 WFYL. It's a new day with Mike Levins. Call in to 610-539-TALK, 610-539-TALK, or 1-877-667-1180. That's 1-877-667-1180. But we'll wrap this up. We have a guest in studio. I'll tell you about her in just a second. But President Poroshenko basically is calling for a referendum in Ukraine right now, and he's not afraid of what the Ukrainian people will say. In fact, this is a quote. Again, we're reading the New York Times article. For those who wish to put forward the thesis of federalization and cast it as a debate, we have the ultimate tool, a referendum. And as to me, I'm ready to hold a referendum on the state structure of Ukraine if you find it necessary, which speaks volumes about his confidence of the Ukrainian people, especially in Russia's abuse of the referendum and probably influence of that referendum in Crimea. But that's a point for another day. And that speaks, again, tremendous, tremendous insights into what Ukraine and the Ukrainian people really want. And what they really want is freedom. And they know that that may not be entirely accessible underneath Russian rule. At least half of the country thinks so. So we'll always bring you more developments on Ukraine as they occur. And we always do that with the Ukrainian update here on It's a New Day. If you're just joining the program, welcome. We have a special guest in studio with us this morning. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself for everyone?
Good morning. My name is Christy Werkheiser. I'm the Director of Advancement at Westmont Christian Academy, located in Pottstown, Pennsylvania.
And Westmont Christian Academy is a local Christian school that is working in our community to make our children into better citizens that could really benefit our community. And really, you're working all these things that we talk about here on the program. You're one of the few institutions that's really doing something positive. And in school systems across the nation are doing different things, positive teachers in their respective places. But tell me how Westmont's different.
Well, there's a lot of distinctives that set Westmont apart from other schools. Of course, one of the number one items would be the biblical and traditional family values that we teach from kindergarten all the way through 12th grade. A lot of parents choose Christian schools because of that. And one of the things that sets Westmont apart is the fact that we have something we call the Point Project, which identifies a student's giftings and talents very early on as we work closely with parents to find out what a child is really kind of receiving, you know, the direction from the Lord in their lives, the areas that they're going to be particularly strong in the future. And even starting in kindergarten, we try to identify those things and help funnel them in those directions so that by the time they hit high school, they are really honing in on the things that they may want to do with their lives so that they can fulfill their purpose that they have in Christ, which is essentially our mission statement.
And that you are a Christ-centered school is a very big appeal. That's not just something that you yourselves want to put forward, but that's a big reason you're actually seeing increased interest in your school because of different things, even like Common Core. And we don't have to get too much into that, but people are really getting they're really starting to look more at schools like yours in a serious light because of your Christ-centered values. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, you know, more and more we're seeing that parents want to have a voice in their children's education. They want to be a part of it. And that's something that is unique, I believe, about Westmont in that we are not a church-run school. We are a parent-run school. Our board is a parent board. And we are a school that works very closely with parents, believing that parents are the first line of defense, so to speak, for their children and for everything that they are to learn throughout their lives. So we partner with them in that.
And you kind of have this relational family kind of feel because your class sizes are significantly smaller than public schools. You have AP classes like many other schools, so you're able to compete right along with public schools, and you're able to offer the same quality kind of education. Even a little bit more so because of the atmosphere.
Yes, the atmosphere is huge. Not only are the academics stellar, you know, we're duly accredited, so, you know, there's no question that they're very excellent. But the atmosphere is the thing that really shines, I think, in the community. We recently had a visitor who was investigating the school for their child, and I asked why they were there. I said, you know, what brings you here today? How did you hear about us? And their response was that someone we love loves Westmont, so we're here. And I love that. That just kind of tickled me because I thought that's how we're known out there in the world, you know, in the community surrounding the school and the Tri-County area, for being a very warm, welcoming place that is accessible to all students, not just certain students.
And people are really grasping for that because in today's society, with all of the technology and social media connecting that we have going on, that leaves a gap in other areas sometimes, and you're doing that in the education realm. You're really filling that in with how you go about it. So you do K through 12.
Yes.
You do exceptional ed through AP, whole child. You've got Point Project. Already made the great point that you're not a church-run school, but you're running in cooperation with parents. This is probably very important.
It is.
For people, and really kind of puts the family at the center, which really, even from a biblical perspective, that's God's design. The family is the core of everything.
Yes.
And that, you know, that beautiful analogy to Christ and the church being the husband and the wife, being able to come together, you know, as Christ comes back for his church and united to be in heaven forever. That is really exemplified in the family. So how did you start? I hear it starts in 1980.
Right. 1980, we were actually started by the Pottstown Youth Center. And, you know, approximately 35 years later, here we are. We now reside in the former North Coventry High School and Elementary buildings, which are right next door to the North Coventry Township Police Department and Township building there. So we now own our own buildings, have, you know, 22 acres, beautiful campus. The Lord has really blessed in that way. And we are no longer necessarily affiliated with the Pottstown Youth Center. We're an independent entity. And, of course, I already mentioned not affiliated with a particular church, but we do have approximately 80 churches represented within our school. So students come from everywhere.
Now, you are, just to clarify for our listeners, you are the Director of Advancement.
That's correct.
At Westmont.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's your story with
sure.
Westmont actually coming to? Because it's
right.
great to talk about all this, but sometimes putting feet to things in that way is a lot
right.
better.
Well, the Lord was really integral in us coming to Westmont. My husband, who is has been in ministry. We've been in ministry for about 14 years full time, and we had a transfer to the Pottstown area this past summer, and so we began looking for a new school for our children. And so I came, and we came to Westmont as parents first, identifying, you know, the school that we felt that was the right fit for our family and our values and what we wanted to see offered for our students. And so within the enrollment time frame and that process of getting our kids established at the school, I then found out about an open position. So, you know, I had a lot of buy-in as a parent before I ever found out about an opening there for employment, which, you know, I see really is a God thing, because now I have this perspective that I don't believe I would have had I just come in as an employee. I chose Westmont specifically because I wanted to have access to the authentic ministry that they provide to the students, and training them how to be, you know, God-fearing young people.
So as you got more involved with the school and your family,
right,
you really liked it so much that you got involved yourself.
I mean, did. Yes. I believed in it. I do believe in it.
And that's an incredible thing. So mm-hmm. how would they be able to, what's a good way to get in contact with yourself?
Sure. Well, we can be contacted at the school directly. We have, of course, a website that we can direct people to, www.westmont.org. They can also call our main number. They can email me directly, christy.werkheiser@westmont.org. And since I'm the Director of Advancement, the admissions department is in our department, and we can get them straightened, you know, going in the right direction for visits and things of that nature.
And that's Christy Werkheiser,
right,
with Westmont Christian Academy. And you could go ahead and contact them through their website. They have a number there. And we've got to wrap up the program for today. But thank you so much for
joining
us.
Thank you very much for having me.
It's a new day. We'll see you tomorrow on 1180 WFYL.